Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Deep. This is Reba. I'm here with my buddy Allison, and we are continuing our study in experiencing God. So if you are just joining us, it's not too late, right, Allie? I mean, it's not too late for people who are just joining us. You don't have to feel like, oh, I've missed it, right?
Yeah, you can go either get a book. You probably have one somewhere, download Maybe. It, look at, go to a used bookstore, borrow it from a friend, and then just jump in. We're at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
But as I mean, you all know how podcasts live forever on the web. So you can just go back and get started with the intro. We do an intro and then we did chapters 1 and 2 already. Yeah. And so that was, and again, this has been a blessing for me because it's been a minute since I've picked this book up.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think it's one of those books that's just kind of, it has a timelessness to it. Mm-hmm. It kind of doesn't go out of style, or it doesn't seem to date itself too bad. Maybe some illustrations, but outside of that, you know, it's one of those things that's relevant no matter when you read it. And so right. I think, boy, when I was the first time I read this book, I was just out of grad school and I was in my first coaching job, and somebody mentioned, have you ever read the book Experiencing God?
Yeah.
And I was like, and they were like, you should. And I was like, okay, you know? And so again, you know, just kind of just getting out of college, just getting into just the first part of my career, if you would define it that way. I'd been coaching a couple of years and somebody says, hey, this book. And I remember like reading this book for the first time and just having so many of these aha moments.
Right. Exactly. It's all, you know, and this book has been, because I was a new college student. I think I was a sophomore in college when we did a study with my college and career class. And it was at that moment, especially in my life. It's like, what is God's will? What do I do? How do I, I had been, you and I have been raised very similar. And so we just, you know, we're always looking to do the right thing. Right. But then these aha moments that you're talking about, I had a few of them as well. And it's, you know, looking at it, it's not that it changed who God was for, you know, it just changed my relationship. It changed how I understood him and what he wants.
Yeah. I think that's well said.
Desires. And so it was kind of going from doing maybe to being, which was, I think, the brilliance of the title, Experiencing God, because not just know about him, learn all these facts, check it off. Because I think we all, if we were raised similar to me and you, we all had lists that we had to check off, things to do, things to not do. And this is so different.
Right. No, that's absolutely. And those are things that kind of qualified you as a good Christian.
Right.
And so, you know, you don't do all of these. Okay. Because that would be awful. And then you do all of these. And that means now, you know, and there were many times in life where I think, if you have that mindset, you can become performance driven, where your walk with God is like a performance on a stage, you know, and you're getting up every day and you're like, all right, Lord, I'm going to try to perform well enough today to please you. So, you know, it's so performance driven in many cases when that becomes my end all be all goal. And so if you're not careful, your Christian life looks like you're jumping up on the stage, trying to perform some things for God and hoping at the end of the day, you get this applause.
Right. Yeah. And it's very performant, like you said, performance motivated.
Yeah.
And this totally changes it.
Yeah. And so this kind of spins that whole paradigm on its head and says, no, wait a minute. God is not looking for you to jump through hoops so he can clap. He's looking to have this relationship with you that's real and it's personal, and it's intimate and it's loving and it's rewarding.
And it's not cookie cutter. It's not this.
No,
not
right.
Yeah. It's not cookie cutter. And so it's not like I'm going to compare myself to all the good, this, all these other good Christians around me. No, it's this relationship, you know, like you said, intimate and personal with God. And he doesn't, and you and I get this question all the time, throughout our lives, you know, we talked about it last week, like how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know all this? And, you know, and that was my big question when I was in college. I don't want to mess, but it wasn't because I loved God. It was because I was afraid to mess up, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no.
I think that's where
a
lot of people are. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally true. I think we all kind of have these moments when we're like, oh, okay, wait a minute. I don't want to, it's like, I didn't want to disappoint somebody.
Right. Okay.
And you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't want to, there's a lot of pressure here. I don't want to disappoint anybody. So I think for me, it was, let's try to, you know, it's kind of like the Army slogan, be all you can be, you know, and it was just, you know, be the best you can be here. And hopefully at the end of the day, everybody's going to be happy with you. And I think that here, what we've learned along the way is that, at least in my journey, the people that I thought had these deep, powerful relationships with God, time proved that many of them did not. And then what I've learned along the way is that having a deep and personal and impactful relationship with God is not exclusive to a pastor or a missionary or somebody who has a role that you feel like is prominent. You know, God meets us all in this relationship. And like you said earlier, in this unique place, and that's what he wants for our lives, because everything is birthed out of that. Right. And so I think if we could, you know, if you've never grasped that, if you've never actually said, oh my word, that's really true, then this study is going to rock your world in a positive way. Because I think it's going to show you, as it did me, as just a young career in my career, early in my career, someone talking to me about this book and how it changed, truly has changed the way I do life and the way I do my relationship with God and what my relationship with God looks like. It's it was a significant, significant change in my life after putting some of these principles into place in my life.
And what we want, especially today, I think today's podcast is the chapters that we're going to be talking about. I think it's really important to make sure this is meant, and I feel like this book was written to take the pressure off in some cases. And and we're going to talk about that because we're talking about chapters 3 and 4.
Yep.
And there's so many times it's like all of a sudden it's like the do. And the will of God, this is meant, I really feel like this is meant to take the pressure off one thing and put the emphasis and the goal onto, you know, the actual relationship with God.
Yeah. Because you know, chapter 3 walks right into what is the will of God? How do we do the will of God? And like you said, so many people have asked us, I'd love a dollar for every time I've been asked, how do I find God's will for my life? Right. And there's an assumption that God's will is kind of twofold. At least that's kind of what I thought as a young person. Number one, it's this specific dot on a map.
Right.
Okay. And then once it seems that dot moves a lot, like you think you about got it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's almost like God's like, psych.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
That's not it.
And it's like that little laser pointer and the cat, you know, it's like the cat thinks you get it and then you move it. That's how a lot of people, and maybe me as a kid, that's how I thought it was. It's like, it's so mysterious and do I have it? And I've got to jump on it.
Yeah. And if you ever got it, you know, hang on to it, please, for dear life, because you know, you'll never find it again. And yet I think what is so great about chapter 3 as it unpacks what is the will of God and how do we do the will of God?
Yeah.
And for you, no matter what age you are right now, no matter how far you are in your career path, no matter how many kids you already have or what you're, you know, if you may be retired right now, it's irrelevant. All of us, no matter where we are at our stage or our age, we should every single day be seeking to live in the will of God for our lives.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And, And so how do we know that? You know, it's not just a young person's pursuit when they get out of high school. Mm-hmm. That's not it. And I think sometimes we think it is. And so we're like, well, you know, man, I messed that up. I'm just over here kind of, I'm sure I didn't become a pastor or missionary or, you know, whatever. So I'm just over here doing a secular job. So I must, you know, whatever. And I think, no, wait a minute. Let's really define what God's will is for you at every age and every stage of your life. And as you do that, I think we find what God promises us in his word. And that is to be in his will, mm-hmm. is to be in his love and to experience this relationship with him, and also to be the most fulfilled we could ever be.
Exactly. And it's not like you said, it's not, oh, I missed it when I was in college, so therefore I'm just going to do my own life and just be as good a Christian as I can be, because now the will of God has passed me up.
Right.
No, I feel like we touched on this a little bit in the last podcast, because it is a daily walk. It's daily mm-hmm. obedience. What I tell young people is, you know what God's will for your life is to get up early tomorrow, get good grades, you know, obey your parents, you know, just do the daily, read the Bible, pray every day, you know, and you'll grow kind of a situation. Why is it I come up with a song every time we have a podcast? Have you noticed?
No, I think you're just musical. It's so all there is to it. I mean, you just have this musical thing to you.
But childlike songs. But it's just that in that daily walk, that is where, I'm not saying that's where you find God's will. That's where you're in it, you know, and I think that's the difference. Do we find it or can we live it? And that's what chapter 3 really is going to unpack for us today.
Yeah. Because, you know, typically when I think about, you know, and if we ask everybody right now, like, what is God's will for your life right now? Mm. We immediately think about ourselves.
Mm, yeah.
And we think about our lives. Mm-hmm. And we think about what we do, you know, and whether it be our profession or what we're studying or whatnot. And to be able to say, wait a minute, is that when we study the Bible, is that how the Bible defines the will of God? And what we find, I think, is actually no. And that's what really flipped me on my head for the first time as I was reading this, because my mind, when I thought of the will of God, it was really, I was in the middle of it, because it was all about my life, what I was going to do and all these kind of things. And Blackaby says, shift your focus from having you at the center to putting God at the center. And so the difference is asking yourself, not what is God's will for my life, but actually asking yourself, what is God's will?
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
What is God's will? Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, everybody, we could sit down right now with a pen and a piece of paper and jot down 10 or 15 things that we would say, I know this is the will of God.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
They're the thou shalts in scripture. Yeah. Do this, live this way, mm-hmm. walk this way,
right.
walk this way, think this way, be this way. You know, those are the will of God for our lives. Yeah. And so when we start to think about those things.
Yeah. It takes us out of the center.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you think about if it's God's will, no matter who is asking, it's the same. And we're all revolving really and doing and being and relating and obeying the center, which is God, instead of us finding God's will and dragging everybody along, because like you said, we become the center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so that's one of the issues that like you said, it changes once you get the true who's in the center of God's will. It really should be God.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it also takes all the mystery out of it, because there are so many things. I mean, are there things that I'm like, I don't know what to do about this? Well, absolutely there are. Okay. But, you know, are there 1,000 things that we know exactly what we should be doing? Yes. Right. And I think when we're seeking specific answers for specific questions, we have to ask ourselves, ultimately, am I walking in what I know to be God's will today? Because you're never going to find God's will about your specific questions and your specific answers that you're looking for. you're never going to know those specific things if you're not doing the everyday things of walking right. in the will of mm-hmm. God daily.
Yeah.
And I think that's really where a lot of us mess up. We're looking for this, oh, angels sing, you know, mm-hmm. writing in the sky. Now I know what to do. Big flaming arrow points this way. I follow it. But we're not doing what we know to do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're not stepping, walking in that everyday moment. I know so many times I've had questions or concerns or like, what if, you know, what should I do here? What decision should be made here?
Yeah.
And I go and I open the Bible thinking that there's going to be a verse that tells me, yes, go ahead and take out that loan at this percent interest or go to this destination. And I'm like, that's not where the answers are, because that's not where the questions are, I guess. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're exactly right. And I think so many times, it's like, okay, how am I going to know who to marry? How am I going to know where to go live? How am I going to know what God wants me to do for a career? How am I going to know, you know, this, or how to raise my kids, or how to go through this stage in my life? Mm. How am I going to know these things? And I think the answer goes back, and this is what Blackaby said. I remember it kind of leaning back moment of stopping reading and thinking. Blackaby says the way you're going to know this is when you get to know God.
Yes.
We seek answers. We don't seek him.
Yes.
And so he becomes, again, this ATM machine where we run up to God and say, okay, look, I need an answer for this question. And can you pop that thing out for me? Because I got to go and get this thing done for you. I'm doing it for you. Come on now. You know, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Mm. God's not a royal ATM machine here. God's like, you know what? I want you to get to know me. I want you to walk with me. And if you'll adjust your life to mine, if you'll follow in relationship to me. And I think this is what Jesus is teaching in John 15. He says, if you'll abide with me and I will abide with you. So there's this duality here of I'm experiencing God on the daily by abiding in him. And I guess what's happening in that relationship, you're going to know things you can't know otherwise, do things you can't do otherwise, and you're going to experience me and I'm going to use you.
Yeah.
So you'll be doing the will of God every single day.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, because there's going to be, like you said, there's going to be daily, doing and daily being, you know, with God, you're going to know things you wouldn't know otherwise. And so all of a sudden these bigger questions the bigger answers that people are not so big because you've been on a path that whole time.
Yeah.
And so then it's like almost like it's the next right step. It's the next, okay, so we've stepped, you know, and you and I both know this to be true in our own lives, you know, at different times, we're just obeying, you know, we're just serving, because I know that you, for example, all of your life, you felt like, you know, every day you're serving women. It's not like when you were a teenager, you woke up and says, I'm going to open safe houses in Guatemala, but you served women right where they appeared in your path, whether it was your students or whether it was your players or whether it was. And so it's like in that daily obedience. Now it's, you know, then when God said Guatemala, you were like, well, yeah, you know, because yesterday I was serving and we were walking together and that's how it works. And so I think people are really always wanting, like you said, these big answers. But one of my quotes, you know, from chapter 3, when we do feel like this is like something that's so big and it's like, why is this not working out? Or why is my life? Why don't I have the answers? Mm-hmm. It's because we're so busy attempting to do things for God that we're not enjoying the fellowship with God. And that's where the things happen. And that's where, like you said, you know, and do, because you're attached at that path and on his path.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the most powerful statements that Jesus said early on in his teaching ministry was this whole thing about living day by day. You know, he talked about if I take care of the birds and I take care of the flowers, mm-hmm. Will I not take care of you?
Yeah.
Who can add one inch to his height by thinking about it or worrying yeah. about it or having anxiety over it? And Jesus is teaching this principle of daily 24 hour, you know, just live today. And I think that there's a principle that walking with him, even way back when we dial it all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we have Adam and Eve, and God comes and walks with them in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
So way back at the very beginning, they're experiencing God in a special way because they're walking with him at a certain time of day, and he's coming in the cool of the day and walking with them, and they're getting to know him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what that's why Jesus died on a cross, was because what Adam and Eve broke mm-hmm. in their sinful relationship and their sinful yeah. choices, how they stepped out of God's will for their life. Right.
Right.
And God has restored that through the cross so mm-hmm. that we can have this relationship with him. And so that it's not doing life alone. It's not like, you know, okay, I got this, God, and I'm taking off now. It's not like that. God is like, no. I'm going to go with you, and we're mm-hmm. going to do this a day at a time. And yeah. I'll give you what you need for today. Great is thy faithfulness, right? So new mm-hmm. mercies yeah. every morning.
Day. Yeah.
New grace. I mean, and so I think we try to live so much, at least maybe I'm the only one guilty of this, but I want answers for a year yeah. from now yeah. so I can feel better today.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and God's like, you know what? Today, a year yeah. from now may not even come, you know? Mm-hmm. So it definitely may not come the way you think it's going to come.
Yeah.
So what if we just do, what if we focus on today? And so I get in his word today. And I think, Allison, this is what really kicked my walk with God at a different level. Because when you're reading your Bible to check off a list, when you're reading your Bible because you want God to like you, when you're reading your Bible because you don't want your refrigerator to break and not have the funds to pay for it. And so you think that this is kind of a you do for me, I do for you kind of relationship. If you've been reading your Bible and you've been doing it for all the wrong reasons, and suddenly you make this switch and you're like, no, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm in God's word every day and I'm praying mm-hmm. as part of experiencing God today. This is I'm walking in the cool of the day with God moment. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is me experiencing God. And through that daily conversation we have with him through prayer and our study in God's word, suddenly now tomorrow becomes clear and, yeah. and the Holy Spirit guides my heart and guides mm-hmm. my life and guides my decision-making. And it's so subtle and it's yeah. so it, really low anxiety mm-hmm. In many it's cases. So and it yeah. happens so really cool. And not mm-hmm. to say that there's not moments when we have to make a huge decision and we don't know what yeah. to do. I've been there, but
yeah.
I think as we walk through this, it's like, all right, Lord, I'm abiding in you.
Yeah.
And I'm walking with you. Mm-hmm. And so I believe you're going to show me when I need right. to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think this just reminds me of the cloud, the pillar of cloud that guided the Israelites, the children of Israel years, because it wasn't like this huge path. It was literally surrounding and all they could see really was just him. Mm-hmm. Right in that pillar of cloud. And I think that's interesting just because he was a fire in front of the in front of the Egyptians, you know, but for his people, he was just this surrounding cloud. And I think another thing that is really interesting about so many of us wanting to know God's will is because we want to do, and it's based on making sure we really just want a list. If he would yeah. give, I think we all say this, if he would just give us a list of things to do and things to not do,
yeah.
then, and you know, we know what to do. It's in the word of God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not.
Yeah,
it's
right. Right. He's like, well, but I did kind of give you those 10 commandment things, right? Right.
It's right there. Start there and yeah, then you can go on.
Sure.
But But we're so busy wanting to get, you know, get things done for him, but I really don't think it's for him. Let's just be honest. I mean, if we want to get things done, is it for him or is it really for us, you know, to feel good about what we're doing for God and to be able to say, hey, look at me, look at what I'm doing. But also the joy of in the joy is not in the doing. The joy is not in the thing or that it's in the being. And so instead of, you know, and Blackaby says it this way, instead of saying, don't just stand there, do something, God is saying, don't just do something, stand there and just stand in my presence and just sit, you know, just enjoy that part. And I think that's what we, so many of us, including me, struggle with is that quiet cave moment that, you know, God's not in the big whirlwind. God's not in this and this and this and this. He's in that. You need to, you know, that this calm, still place that you should be in every day with, you know, in the that's where the abiding is. That's where, you know, that's where you can open up John 15. I did start because we were starting this Bible study and because I've gone to church a couple times with my dad for the past couple of weeks. I did restart reading, you know, the book of John. Because it's understanding who he is, but and just getting to know, and that's what it says. God is crying out to us, get to know me, adjust your life to me. And we've talked about this before so many times. We write down our plan and say, here's the plan, God, bless it, adjust to it, join in with me. And that's it needs to switch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what that does for us, then it allows us to we kind of change our attitude. Jesus said in John 12, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Okay. Because, and I love this, because where I am, there my servant will be also. And there's a, I think there's a powerful thing that happens, and we talk about this. I doubt there's a podcast almost that goes by that we don't mention this. There is a trust, living in the daily means there's a trust factor with God. I have to trust him that he's got tomorrow. And I have to trust him that I can serve him. I have to, you know, if I'm gonna allow him, which is kind of where chapter four goes for us, it's beginnings to talk about not just the will of God, but actually serving God. And once I know what the daily walk should look like, you know, once I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to experience you in this way, then what am I doing? I've surrendered my life to following God, wherever God leads me, wherever Christ would take me. And so experiencing God leads us to surrendering our will to his will. And so suddenly now we see ourselves as, and we hear this term used all the time if you grew up in church, being a servant, right? We've talked about this servanthood and what does that look like? And in chapter four, which I just think is a beautiful bridge, right between, I mean, three and four to go together like peanut butter and jelly. Because when you see this, when you see yourself experiencing God in a way and you find yourself walking daily with God in his will, okay, and to what you know to do, then you immediately begin. And I love, that's why I love that verse in John 12. It's not like if anyone serves him, let me, you know, I'll give you your orders and you're going to take off and I'll see you after you're done. No, Jesus says, you're going to follow me. You're going to go with me. I'm going to go with you. And so there's not this, let's launch out and do these things for God, you know? And I think that's kind of what I thought as a kid. I'm like, all right, God's going to tell me, and then we're going to go do this thing for God, you know? And God's like, no. If you're going to follow me and serve me, I'm going to do these things through you.
Three, and it's almost like the giving the marching orders and the officers stay back and let the soldiers do all, you know, it's definitely, it's not like that. It is the yoke of the oxen, take my yoke upon you, walk together with and you know, and we I love that Bible verse as well, just because it's you know, it's working together, it's him
Absolutely.
leading, it's me being the inexperienced, you know, rookie, and him being the big strong, really, that's guiding and leading in that yoke. But also just an understanding, and that And that was Jesus' invitation at the end of Matthew. Lo, I am with you always. I'm giving you this giant charge of things to do, you know, which is basically just, you know, teach and disciple the whole world, you know, here's my will, but I'm going to be with you. And I have all the power and I have, you know, everywhere I have everything we need, but it's going to be us together. And lo, I am with you always. And so it shouldn't be, I feel like if we think about the old way, our old way of thinking of God's will, no wonder we were so full of fear. No, because it's like, okay, I've got this, I've got my list of instructions and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go. And I hope I've prepared enough. I hope I know that's, you know, it's not it. And it shouldn't. Yeah. And so the fear, it really should take the fear out of it. Now, are there moments that we are quaking in our boots? Yes. Mm-hmm. Reba and I have talked about this before. Are there moments when he's like, okay, this is our next step. Here's what we're going to do. This is what it looks like. And we're like, okay. Those steps have led up to that. But we know that that next step, when Jesus says, or, you know, when we know, hey, this is the next step that we're supposed to do, we know that we're not alone. And we know that it's not even in our power. And so but that's what those daily steps have led us up to, those moments.
Yeah. And that relationship that we've been cultivating along the way leads us to a confidence.
Yes.
That God is not going to lead me down a wrong path. He's not going to, you know, just like we talked about last week with the children of Israel at the end of the Red Sea, it was like, oh, wait a minute, we've hit a dead end. And God's like, no.
Yeah.
You've just hit the end of your limit. Hit the end of what you can see. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting ready to enter a place where only I can do it. And that changes everything. And for me, that has been a powerful place and an exciting place and a fun place to be able to walk with God. Because I come to end of me pretty quick. I mean, you know, the end of me is really fast. And it's like, okay, out of ideas, out of answers, out of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden God's like, okay, now that you're at the end of you, you've now started with the beginning of me and there is no end to me. And so there's a real confidence, whether you're a mom at home trying to figure out how to raise your kids well, or you're figuring out how to keep your marriage together, or whether you're trying to figure out what career should look like or who you should marry, or whatever the big questions of life. For all of those big questions and all of those things, should we take this job? Should we move on the other side of the country? Should we go to the mission field? Should we do this? For every big question in life, there comes 1,000 small things that come prior to that. And there's just in the daily, and the answers come. And that's why I love when you get to chapter 4, he uses this illustration of the potter and the clay as a better picture of what it looks like to serve Christ than it does our typical idea of, here's your to-do list for today, take off and go do that and report back to me this evening and I'll let you know if you did good. Suddenly now we get the image of God as the potter and us as the clay. And he's sitting on this, and I love everything about potter clay. I love to watch people do it. I also love to buy what they do. I love that. And so you sit there and you watch, you know, this person take what is just clay and water, right? I mean, it doesn't appear. And all of a sudden they begin to do with their hands, they begin to make shapes and they begin to mold and because they're experienced and because they have knowledge, they know what they're going for.
Right.
They already know in their mind's eye what this is going to become.
Yeah. And the clay has no idea. It's the clay's just soft, because the potter has the vision. The potter has the idea. He's got the hands and the talent. Yeah. The clay's just literally just a lump. Right.
Yep.
It just has to say his only job. And this is what I think is interesting. The clay's only job. And this is our hardest job. I feel like our only job is to say soft. And to be pliable,
You know, and stay in God's hands, right?
Right.
You know, because ultimately I think being moldable and being available are the two secrets to finding the will of God. And those are two secrets to being a follower of Christ, you know, as just allowing God to shape my life. And what is crazy, and I think, Allie, you could say somewhat the same, I have watched God mold my life into so many different vessels.
Right.
It was a coach and a teacher. And then it was reshaped a little bit into a speaker. And now it's reshaped again. I'm still speaking, but there's a reshape to that of now helping to launch, you know, things for women globally. And so all of a sudden there's this constant reshaping of my life, a constant retooling of my life. And yet through every place and every stage of my life, God has always been faithful and it's always been amazing.
Yeah. And it's always been him. If we look at the things that where we've been and what we've done, the ones that count and the ones that matter are the ones where it was his job. It was his just, and we were just the instrument, you know, just the instrument of how he wanted to use us, however. And, you know, just like Blackaby says, he will always work in you before he works through you. He's going to work, but he's got to do that work in us first. And we can say, if we look back and we have the ability to say, okay, this is where I've seen God really take what he trained me for, what he used me for, what he walked, what our relationship was. And he took my trust. He took my obedience and did this. And it was, and I remember when somebody asks, you know, how the school, you know, when the school got started, it was one of those things that I really, there were times when I wasn't, it was really just God pushing me because I'm like, I'm scared, you know, but he kind of drugged me across the finish line in certain sense, because I'm like, I can't do this myself. He's like, you're not doing anything really. And I remember looking back, when I look back, I feel like it is that moment when he was like, this is what we're doing. You just need to step. You just need to make this call or make this, you know, make this decision. And we can look back on that and the lessons that he taught us during those first few years of Las Palmas Christian School. Now, when there's these big things, we still have such testimony of, we've been here before. It's maybe the numbers are different. The amount of children are different, but we've seen these, but because he's been all along the way and our relationship has grown through that, because like you said, just a few minutes ago, it is a trust. It's a total trust issue. If somebody had told me to start a school, I think I would still be in school to start the school. If I had to rely on just me, you know, thankfully.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because we always think in human terms, and absolutely, these type of moments and this type of path helps us to look in divine terms and helps us to look in, you know, I'm just going to let go. I'm going to be soft. I'm going to be clay for a minute and see what God's hands fashion at this moment.
Yeah. You know, because I think if we, the voices in our head, right. The voices in our head always tell us 1,000 reasons why we can't do it. They always bring and remind us of every place that we've ever potentially failed in the history of ever. They always will challenge us. And, you know, you have a choice. You listen to the voices in your head, or you listen to what God says about who you are, who he is, and how he wants to use you. And I so think that many times you think, well, God only uses extraordinary. He only uses these fantastic people that, you know, and I read my Bible and I'm wow, you know, whatever. But I think one of the reasons that God put the accounts of people in scripture, and I would think it would be hard to have your story told in scripture. I think if you're Peter and there'd be a lot of things you wish God would have left out.
Right. Yeah.
If you were Elijah, or you wish there would be some things God would have left out.
Yeah.
If you were, you know,
Jonah,
but God doesn't leave out their bad days. In many cases, he shows their good days and their bad days. And I think there's a reason for that. He knew that you and I were going to be reading these stories one day,
yeah,
and that we were going to go, you know what? they were ordinary people just like me. You know, these Peter and John were fishermen, right? And yet they were the first two disciples that were called by Jesus. And Peter was inconstant. He was constantly, you know, Jesus was at one point, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. I mean, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so you would think, well, that he could never be a good disciple. No, actually, Jesus built a church on him. So, you know, it's one of these things, I think, for all of us where we give so many excuses as to why we can't, why God won't. And I think a lot of those excuses are based in our abilities. And you said it well, if it's up to us to get it done, I know me too well. And I promise you the voices in my head are my worst. They cheer for the enemy every time.
Yeah.
They're not fans of me. They are my worst enemies in that case. But if we turn around and say, wait just a minute, what's the truth about who I am? You know what I'm clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God does not want me to show up as an expert. He needs me to show up as a servant. He needs me to show up as clay. And he's going to mold me. He's going to create the shape out of me that he needs to. He can be trusted to do that. Yeah. And he's going to fill me with his power. He's going to fill me with his ability. He's actually going to do in me what I could not do and do through me what I could not do. And in that, I will walk in the will of God.
Right. And just remember, Jesus said it himself in John 15:5, without me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing, you know? And so it's like, that should be right there. Your voices in your head are right. You can't do anything unless it's with, you know, being abiding or being, you know, being attached to that vine. You can do nothing without me. And one thing we have to do is, or, you know, just like with the clay, your one job really is just to be a servant. Your one job is to recognize whose hands are molding, recognize whose hands you're obeying, recognize who you walk with, and servants of God must do as they're told, and they must remember who is accomplishing the work. It's God, because a servant's not going to be like, oh, look what I did, you know, and that's the whole point. I think that's my problem. I'm like, oh, look at what I did. Look at me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where obviously in our human nature, that is going to be a struggle. Servanthood. It's a daily, again, it's a daily, I'm trying to think of the word in English because I have the word in Spanish, but it's a daily
surrender,
daily,
isn't it?
Surrender. Yes. That's the word I was surrender. Looking for. Yes.
Yeah. It really is, because I think, and how do I do that? You know, a lot of times, okay, how do I daily surrender? And that's why I think these two chapters are peanut butter and jelly. How do I make that surrender? Well, I can tell you the only way you do that is in this relationship that you're having with God, because you just walked with him and you have talked with him and you have seen everything he says about himself is true. And he's been faithful, so faithful to you. And you're like, wait a minute. You know, he can be trusted. And so therefore I can surrender, you know, because the other option is arrogance and pride swell up and say, you know what? I think I know more than God knows.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my own thing. And I think I did this, and it won't take long until you get up in arrogance and pride and you puff yourself up, and suddenly you find yourself destroyed. And you're like very far away from where you ought to be. Mm-hmm. And it's because you've jumped right off and the clay has suddenly decided that it can mold itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can't. Yeah. So I just think these are fantastic chapters that are so worth reading maybe twice or three times to begin to understand what does it look like to walk with God in a way that through that relationship, I just do what is right today.
Yeah.
And even if I got a big question out there, do we do this? Should we move here? Should I marry him? Should we go over here? But I just walk in God's will today and praying about those big questions in life.
Right. Yeah.
Knowing that as I take steps and I get in God's word, that God is going to reveal it to me. And until he does, hang on, right?
Yeah.
God's going to show you what you ought to do. And I love these verses, because then this is where Max, these wonderful verses from Psalm 37 it says that God gives us the desires of our heart mm-hmm. if we delight in him. And when I have this walk with God, this is what's so cool and what I've seen in my life over and over again, Allison. And I think this is worth the price of admission right here. As I do this in my life, as I surrender and as I walk with God, what so is that my desires and I delight in him, my desires become right.
Yeah.
And God says, I long to do those for you. Mm-hmm. It's not like God's look, you know, it's not like God's over here going, now, what would she hate? That's yeah. what I'm going to do for her. Cause she's going right. to be miserable doing mm. this. And that's what yeah. I love is making people miserable. That's right. not the God yeah. we serve.
No.
And so God has equipped us. He's given us talents and abilities. He's, mm-hmm. he's put us in places all for his purpose and for his glory. And right. so now we just surrender our will. We walk with him in relationship. And as we come to big, big moments in our life where big decisions have to be made, we step into those in confidence in our walk with God. And you say, Reba, have you ever misstepped? Yes.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Have I ever made look back yeah. and said, I don't think that was the right call? Mm. Absolutely. Right. But I want to tell you what the coolest thing about that is. And that is on most things. Okay. On most things, when I misstep, God's like, we got this. We got this. I can fix this. You know, and because God knows my heart was to do the right thing, you know? And so I just think it's just so important for us that we lean into God, trust mm. God, and yeah. watch God is in the daily. We watch yeah. God. And then we get to these places where we make decisions. And sometimes people's like, man, Reba, I don't know what should I do? And my first question is, what do you want to do?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the desire?
And they're
yeah.
like, really? And I'm mm. like, are you walking with Jesus? Yes. Yeah. Are you in a relationship with him? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you living in sin? No. Okay. Right. Then what do you want to do? Well, I Next really want step. To do this one. Well, yeah. go do it. You know,
yeah.
and God, and I think God delights in that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah,
and, exactly. I, and I think he does. So anyway, lots of great stuff. We could talk mm-hmm. about this all day long yeah. because there's so many, there's just so many spider webs off of this thing. But I hope for it does this, these two chapters do for you what it did for me way back in the early part of my career, mm-hmm. Because they shaped my future. Yeah. And where I'm sitting today is important. It hinges back to some of the things I learned from these two chapters.
Absolutely. And so, you know, just read chapters 3 and 4, but then also go back and read John 15 again, you know, and read, you know, the Jeremiah passage of the potter and the clay, you know, as you're going through these chapters and enjoy learning a little bit more about how to deepen your relationship with God mm-hmm. and how to put the focus on him and not you.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you get the book. We hope you're following along. And we want to continue the study with you. So be sure to stay rooted deep this week. See us next week. And we're going to dive into chapters 5 and 6.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.